WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN radio.
In the studio, Jeff Muldor. So let's talk about where the name Sheiks came from. You asked this Elijah Wald about it, and his answer was?
Rudolph Valentino. And it was my theory as well. And just to double check with the pro, I called him up. So, yeah, it was a complete mania when this guy did The Sheik, the movie. And I can imagine somebody talking about, you know, two women talking about somebody's boyfriend and say, oh, he's a regular Sheik, you know, and that's how that started. And that's why there were groups formed, the Mississippi Sheiks, the Beale Street Sheiks. And never was a Texas Sheiks, but there is now.
Absolutely. Well, so, and what kind of music did these folks play?
Well, that's one of the reasons we did this style of music. They did, two of those Sheik groups did a few of the tunes we're doing on this album. But, you know, there were jazz bands that did Sheik stuff that were called Sheiks. There was, you know, that movie with Alice Faye and I think Betty Grable or somebody doing the Sheik of Araby. And, you know, it was just a phenomenon. And but the Sheiks bands out of Mississippi and Memphis and Tennessee were string band music, you know. And that's a lot of what we did on this album.
So I know that, you know, long time ago, you spent a lot of time, you know, listening to your brother's record collection and the Harry Smith collection and whatnot. Is this where you came across this string band music initially, or
no,
or is this a more recent thing?
No, that's more recent, like 40 years ago. You'll have to excuse me. I'll mention once again, if somebody's tuned in, that I was betrayed over coffee this morning.
Well,
and
okay.
I had half decaf, so I'm...
Well, I probably needed some more coffee, too.
Yeah, not as sharp as I... I want to talk about who's on this album,
okay,
though.
Let's go.
Because that last tune, the solo, was by Cindy Cashdollar, and she's a killer. She's a slide player. She played with Leon Redbone for years. She played with Bob Dylan and... who else? I guess she was in Asleep at the Wheel for 8 years. And I'm blanking on Van Morrison. She played with him. So she's just completely perfect. There's something about this woman. And when she got together with Susie Thompson, the fiddler from the Bay Area, she was my ringer because I knew she was the most versed in this style of anybody in the country. And she's sort of the center of the folk scene in Berkeley, California. The house parties with 12 different people banging away on ancient Kentucky fiddle tunes and stuff. It's wonderful there. People come from all over. Johnny Nicholas plays on that, and he's hitting a bass drum with his foot and playing a little mandolin or whatever he's doing. We were swapping instruments all the time. And Johnny runs a little restaurant out in the middle of Texas, in the middle of nowhere. You can't find it, but when you do, there are all these fancy cars that have come up from San Antonio to eat there. It's been in the New York Times. It's just absolutely exquisite food. He plays blues at the piano and on the guitar, and we go out there and play there and get free meal, you know. He's a wonderful musician, and you'll hear him sing the next tune, I guess.
Yep. We've got that up next.
Well, you want to go to the next tune, or you want me to tell you who else is playing on?
Well,
this
no,
thing?
let's do the whole band, because then when we come back from the tune, I'm going to have to take a break. So we'll kind of finish the thought.
And Bruce
here.
Hughes is played in a band called The Resentments with Stephen Bruton, and they're still playing. They played last night in honor of Stephen, and Johnny came into town from the Fredericksburg area, and The Resentments was formed because Bruton stole the name from my daughter, Jenny. She had a group in New York called The Resentments, and he stole the name, and she resented it. For like 10 years, she held it against him, you know, but she's gotten over it, so that's good. But The Resentments will live on, as will The Sheiks, I think.
Excellent. Know? And you had some other guests on
Jim Queskin. At the last minute, I said, you know what? Let's get my old buddy Jim Queskin in here. And it was wonderful because of his picking style. And just he just sounds so good. He was the leader of my first group, Jim Queskin Jug Band. And he and I are rehearsing twice a week now just for fun. And we're getting ready for going over to Europe in the fall. And we'll be going to Stockholm and Bremen and Hamburg and Amsterdam, and that'll be a lot of fun. I just love playing with that man. He's one of those people, like John Hurt was. He's completely precise and loose simultaneously. You feel so relaxed, but it's dead on, you know, one of those people. It isn't nervous dead on, you know. And then there were a couple of local rhythm guys, Floyd Domino and Damian Lano, that, you know, just could shuffle and kick it real good on the less string bandy stuff. And you'll hear them coming up too.
Excellent. We've got Jeff Muldaur here, member of the Texas Sheiks, and we've been talking about this. Jeff is also playing in town here in Charlottesville at Pete Vigor's studio. That'll be tomorrow. Right now, more from the Texas Sheiks on WNRN. WNRN with music from the Texas Sheiks. We heard the tune called All By Myself with Johnny Nicholas on lead vocal. But you were talking about Susie Thompson from the Bay Area helping find tunes and you finding tunes. Where do you go? How do you do your research? Do you sit down, listen to lots of albums? Do you go through songbooks? Do you just talk to people?
Yes.
All of the above?
And what happens for me, I get away with doing projects. I don't know how I pull this off. You know, some of them are expensive. And what I keep multiple dreams going, and I have them right now after the Sheik's is now finished, then I start dreaming again, and then I get these ideas. And with the Sheik's thing, I was going through my mind, because you had told me you were going to maybe talk about this, about how where these tunes came from. Well, I used to sing that last tune with Tom Rush at the Club 47 in the 60s. And so I just kept it in the back of my mind that I'd like to do that tune someday. And then I realized, well, man, Johnny would kill this. So gave it to him. And I, Sweet to Mama, another tune on here from the Bill Street Sheik's. I've been humming that tune for decades, you know. So some of these things have been marinating and for ages. And then some of them, like Susie, I said, Susie, you got anything in mind? She'll send me CDs worth of unbelievably obscure stuff. And a couple of those made it on here, including the instrumental, Yellow Dog Blues, and this Cairo tune she came up with, this guy Henry Spaulding. He only recorded two tunes. It's so spooky. It's so good. So we got through that thing pretty good. And it's just, they came from all over the place. Jim Queskin had just been working on a Bob Wills thing, doing Fan It. And so it seemed to fit in. So when he came down, we put that into this thing. So it came from all over. Johnny brought a couple tunes to the table. One of the things he did was he brought a couple tunes. I didn't even know what he was singing. It was so mysterious. And then I realized, like, wait a minute, that's Skip James' Hard Time Killing Floor. I mean, you could hardly, it was so different. So that's why I said yes to all those multiple choices. You know, they come from all over. We didn't go to any songbooks for this one, but I've done that before.
Well, it's an interesting process, I would imagine, and certainly has come out with good result. And I think that's what you're kind of looking for, I would imagine, is a project that all hangs together.
Because you're not going to be able to push it through. I've got some things in my mind right now, and they're both very ambitious, and I've got people who want to help me, but I also don't want it to be embarrassingly expensive, just a little too expensive, you know. There are classical works that I've written and I'm still writing. There are gospel arrangements. You know, do you have a choir that will record cheap and also sing incredibly difficult intervals? You know, so you get these ideas and you just don't know if you're going to click, you know. Get that friend of mine to look for a choir in Detroit, and if it works, we might do it. If it doesn't, then you go on to the other dream, you know. That's how I work. It's tiring, but I like it.
Well,
especially without caffeine in your coffee.
That's right. Well, the fretboard article talks a lot about the arranging that you've been doing, and kind of I don't know if people know your history per se, but you did kind of drop out of being a front person and a touring person for a while, and you did a lot of arranging and composing. Mm-hmm. For a while, along with doing consulting and other things. So certainly that's part of your toolkit, I think you used that phrase.
Well, it is. I've always been an arranger. I'm a singer-arranger. I use the guitar because I don't have anybody with me. I need an accompanist, so I'm it. But that's really what I've done. It's starting right out in the jug band, just, you know, toughing out some different types of arrangements and the things that nobody had ever done before. And that's what the job is. You don't want to do what people have done before.
But you obviously must like it or are drawn to it or see a hole that needs filling and you go, I can do that. You must have sensed that even back when you were working it with
Queskin. It all happens in the shower, you know.
Fair enough.
I can't keep these things out of my mind, you know.
Well, let's do at least one more tune here from this Texas Sheiks album. And we're going to play the one called Don't Sell It, Don't Give It Away with
Bruce Hughes. Yeah.
On the lead vocals
this,
here.
I heard Paul Jeremiah do this like 30 years ago. I went, I'm going to kill that someday. You know, I know just how I want to arrange this thing. And so a lot of things came together here for our friend Stephen Bruton, you know.
The Texas Sheiks on WNRN. We'll be back with more conversation with Jeff Mulder in just a minute. WNRN music from the Texas Sheiks. This album will be out in September. We've got Jeff Mulder here in the WNRN studios, a member of the Texas Sheiks, and I don't know. Are you the main organizer of this musical event?
I am head sheik.
Head sheik. And well, I'm so glad you brought this or had it sent to me ahead of time so that we had a chance to talk about this project, not only to talk a bit about Stephen Bruton and the fact that you put it together for him, and also just kind of the whole string band phenomena. I mean, for many people now, it's not on the radar at all. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, as me, as someone who spent, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of my life as a full-time folk DJ, I didn't know about string music. I certainly found out about it because I just was curious and wanted to know more about the whole thing beyond just what Harry Smith had put into people's hands.
And when I did the Bix project, it was about music nobody remembers that was glorious. And one of the projects coming up will be the All Electric Sheiks, which will be a style that just doesn't get played anymore. It's too expensive to play it. And that is the rhythm and blues with the five horns, you know, the early Ray Charles sound type of thing. And Howard Johnson is, we did a few recordings with this band, with an electric band down in parts of this band, and we haven't put them out yet, with some really dangerous playing. I mean, you know, the corrupting type of music.
Well,
the kind that will,
that's actually kind of interesting, because I think a lot of people think of folk music as kind of being the you know, protest music or I don't know. Right, yeah, well, the Weavers. Okay, there you go. And then, you know, then there was the music that I discovered that was, you know, kind of very, very sexy or talking about murder ballads or other things that are just out there that are really, you know, they're talking about humanity more and all of its glory and ugliness. They don't, mm-hmm. they don't seem to, you know, filter it. It's there for you to check out,
yeah.
see what people have to say about it.
When they drove the Indians out of Canyon de Chelly and put them on the Long March,
right?
There was a guy who they didn't capture, and he spent like 10 years doing drawings on the face of those rocks about their civilization and how they lived. So that's sort of what's going on here with the Sheiks and a few other things that I'm doing. Then I might have to leave you all and just do what's in my heart on my classical works, because that's not referential to American music in the same way.
Right.
It's, you know.
So tomorrow, when people show up to Pete Vigor's studio to see you.
Where is that?
It's at 1106 West Main Street above Studio Art in downtown Charlottesville. I bet you'll have an escort, but other people will have to find it on their own. So there they are. And they can always call the WNR studio. We'll tell you where it is. You'll be doing some blues music?
Oh, yeah. Telling my stories and picking. And I got some new ones from the Sheiks thing. And, you know, I love doing this. Just going around with my guitar and Japan and Europe and
US. Speaking of guitars, do we have a minute to talk about your guitar?
A minute? Well, okay.
Or maybe 90 seconds. Since you are not fully caffeinated. So Martin has a guitar made just for you, about you.
Well, it's the Jeff Moldor Martin.
Right.
And it's selling well.
Yay.
I can't believe it. And it's beautiful. And they knocked it out of the park, I think. And it's priced to sell.
Well, but
I love it.
But
a signature Jeff Moldor Martin.
Well, can we get a little technical here? Stuff mm-hmm. about guitars I don't really understand, but obviously is important to guitar players. Mm-hmm. You specifically wanted a neck like the O.O. Martin that you have.
I had an old 00-40H, which means Hawaiian, but that's another subject. And it just fit right for me, and it had a fairly wide neck, so I could get my different kind of fingerings in there. And this has got a slot head, which puts more tension on the nut. You want to get technical here? But
nope.
The size of the 00 shape over the years has been the one that's the most comfortable, most balanced. I've got 4 00s, you know, from the old days, et cetera.
All of them with the Hawaiian thing or just
The Hawaiian means that they had an overstock of Hawaiian guitars and they cut down the necks. So that they could be played like regular guitars, but they were braced differently and they sustained longer. So they wanted to revive this. They saw me in Tokyo at a big concert. The Martin Company was doing their millionth Martin Tokyo show, and I closed the show, and they were going, "What is Moldor doing here closing this show?" I said, because they could see that I sort of have a thing going on. So they knew they had a market in Japan, which they did, and it worked out great. And then we made it, and I just love it. I just love it.
Oh, great. I'm glad you have a guitar that was made
That's
for
like
you.
That's like being a mason and having a brick named after you. Just think about that. It's very important, and I'm very proud of it and honored.
Right. Well, you can learn more about the Martin named after Jeff tomorrow. You can see him sing and play the blues. And this will be at Pete Vigor Studio, 1106 West Main Street, above Studio Art in downtown Charlotte. We'll give away the tickets in just a minute. Always a pleasure to have you here, Jeff. Thank
Wonderful
you so much
to be
for
here.
your time.